Penguin Random House Audio presents We Who Wrestle with God, Perceptions of the Divine. This is the author, Jordan B. Peterson.
To my recently deceased mother, Beverly Ann Peterson, who, like all of us, wrestled with God, she more happily than not. Carry and comfort. Not, I will not, carry and comfort, despair, not feast on thee, not untwist, slack they may be, these last strands of man in me, or, most weary, cry, I can no more. I can something, hope, wish day come, not choose not to be. But oh, thou terrible, why wouldst thou rude on me, thy ring-world right foot rock? Lay a lion limb against me. Scan, with darksome devouring eyes, my bruised bones, and fan, oh, in turns of tempest, me heaped there, me frantic to avoid thee and flee. Why? That my chaff might fly, my grain lie, sheer and clear? Nay, and all that toil, that coil, since, seems, I kissed the rod, hand rather. My heart, lo, lapped strength, stole joy. Would laugh, cheer? Cheer whom, though? The hero whose heaven-handling flung me? Foot trod me? Or me that fought him? Oh, which one? Is it each one? That night, that year of now-done darkness, I, wretch, lay wrestling with my God, my God. Earlier drafts of the final line. Of darkness done that I wretch wrestled, I wrung with God. Now done, I know that I wretch wrestled, I wrung with God. Done now, I know that I wretch wrestled, I wrung with God. Of darkness now done with, I wretch in wrestle rung. Gerald Manley Hopkins, 1885. The history of supreme beings, whose structure is celestial, is of the utmost importance for an understanding of the religious history of humanity as a whole. We cannot even consider writing that history here in a few pages, but we must at least refer to a fact that to us seems primary. Celestially structured supreme beings tend to disappear from the practice of religion, from cult. They depart from among men, withdraw to the sky, and become remote, inactive gods, dei otiosi. In short, it may be said of these gods that after creating the cosmos, life, and man, they feel a sort of fatigue, as if the immense enterprise of the creation had exhausted their resources. So, they withdraw to the sky. Mircea Eliade, The Sacred and the Profane, 1959.
Foreshadowing, The Still Small Voice. We begin our journey, our wrestling with God, with the consideration of a singular tale, that of the prophet Elijah, also known as Elias, recounted in the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Kings. His story is one of many in the biblical corpus that might and will be so contemplated, chosen for introductory purposes, because it provides a surprising and sophisticated characterization of the divine in a brief yet highly instructive manner. Before we begin our exposition, however, we might first well ask, why devote so much, or even any time and effort, to the analysis of any story, let alone one so ancient, forsaken, and even obscure? There are many reasons, but one has become paramount, perhaps, in recent decades. Something truly revolutionary is afoot, something that has riven the world, although the cause of such division, manifesting itself, for example, in the form of the culture war obsessing the West, has not yet risen widely to consciousness. It is the near simultaneous discovery by literary critics, researchers into robotics and artificial intelligence, cognitive scientists, and neuropsychologists alike, that we do and even must perceive reality through a story. Or, more accurately, their discovery that a story is a portrayal of the structure through which we perceive reality. The Enlightenment, which so transformed the world technically, scientifically, philosophically, and theologically, was predicated on the belief that rationality or empiricism or some amalgam of both had permanently supplanted the religious, even the superstitious, and that we could henceforth be guided by the facts alone. This supposition turned out to be wrong, even by the standards established by that very Enlightenment, and seriously so. Thus, the current era of our understanding of the world is ending, and something new is striving to be born. This will either be the descent of the world into the nihilism, hedonism, and striving for power that has always characterized the end of the world, or, as the poet T.S. Eliot had it, a new arrival where we started, knowing the place for the first time. We have always and will always live in a story. It is something truly new that we now know not only that we do so, but why we do and must. There is more. We can now also understand the necessary, true, guiding story and its dread alternatives much more explicitly and consciously than we have managed in the past, and can use that understanding to provide us with the meaning that sustains and to deliver us from evil, to undergird and buttress our determination to do good in the world rather than ill. The potentially revolutionary significance of this more specific realization can also hardly be overstated. We have discovered that the facts alone cannot provide direction or meaning. They cannot structure perception or determine action, cannot quell anxiety, provide hope, or unite psychologically and socially. This is not least because there are simply too many facts, one per phenomenon, perhaps, or even one for every conceivable combination of phenomena. We can only drown in such an infinite plethora. We have neither the attentional resources nor the time and energy to contemplate even a fraction of the sense data, so-called, that constantly presents itself to us, and we certainly cannot even begin to compute the significance of the exponentially expanding number of pathways that emerge in consequence of any single action we might undertake. This is an intractable problem, something that philosopher Daniel C. Dennett famously characterized as a new, deep, epistemological problem. There are a near infinite number of ways to categorize, hence to perceive, a finite number of objects. We do not and cannot attend with equal devotion to everything occurring always and everywhere around us. Instead, with every glance, we prioritize the facts. In doing so, we attend to very little and ignore much. We do so in keeping with our aim. We do so to gain what we need and want. But what is that? It is that fundamental question that the analysis of the remarkable story of Elijah will help us begin to answer. The great prophet in question lived in the time of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel in the 9th century BC. Though his story is a brief one, Elijah is notable among the prophets for two reasons. his strange manner of death, and his much...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?